Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Travel and Tourism Podcast, my first season. I had the supreme pleasure of working with my guest today during the winter season in 1996 at Club Med Columbus Isle. His first season was at Club Med St. Lucia in 1991, where he held several positions such as mini club, kids club, land sports, and snorkeling. He then went to Club Med Huatuco as responsive snorkeling in 1992, and then took a break to go back to school to earn his degree in psychology at Chapman University in Orange, California. As a gift to himself for finishing his degree, he went back to Club Med in 1995 at Club Med Turks and Caicos, and then left Club Med in 96. He was also in a movie called Bachelor Trip with my idol, actor Rutger Hauer, and we're going to talk about how the heck that happened. Please help me welcome, from California, Peter Alghazi. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Oh, really good, thanks.
You know, I was so happy that you posted that photo that fateful day about 2 weeks ago from your time in St. Lucia, because if you hadn't posted it in the XGO group, I probably never would have saw it, even though I do remember you very, very well from that 96 season. So thanks for posting those pictures, sir. This is why we're here today.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
All right. Are you sitting comfortably? Are we ready to begin?
I am.
Yeah, you have quite an interesting life. And I do remember we talked about university and you getting a psychology degree. And I remember you telling me that, correct me if I'm wrong, both your parents are psychologists. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. They're both PhDs in psychology. My mother's still practicing. My father's retired at 90.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. And I guess they were happy when you decided to pursue the same degree, because usually it doesn't work out like that, right? The child goes completely the other direction and gets a degree in pottery or something, right?
I think they're just happy that I was sticking to school. Yeah.
Okay. So. But before that, I remember you told me a good story about how I think you weren't really sure what you wanted to do. You were living at the Sigma Chi house for $150 a week. And your mom, I love this part, your mom told you, you have to go to the Peace Corps or Club Med. And I think you chose wisely, right?
I believe I chose wisely, actually $150 a month. And I was working for the LA Unified School District and I was a playground supervisor for $11.24 an hour. So I actually had extra cash to go to Vegas and different things. And then I think at one point I had dropped out of school. I didn't tell my parents for a few months. And then when I finally came clean, I was figuring out what I was going to do. And that's when my mother said, you can't stick around. You got to either go to the Peace Corps or go to Club Med. And like you said, I chose wisely.
And then I think you said you needed, or you assumed you would need, some kind of water safety course you applied.
WSI, I needed my first aid, the CPR and water safety instructor. It was like 80 hours, something like that, over in East LA, of all things. I'd show up to East LA every day and I did this course. And so I had all my credentials. So when I did go to my interview, like I had everything dialed in.
All right. We're talking like 91, right? So how did you know where to apply to Club Med? I don't think there was a website yet, right?
Yeah, I believe I called and I just went through the application process. So, and it was quite a process by the time that I actually got assigned to a village.
Did you have a phone interview or an in-person interview?
I spoke to some people on the phone and then I had to fill out like a resume and some questionnaire stuff and send it in. And then I was invited to come to New York City.
Okay. So you fly to New York on your own dime and you get interviewed by a guy of all things that likes foosball. And this is what you guys bonded over.
That's how they chose me that day. He said I was the only one to get hired that day. We were like in a big old circle. And he just said, anybody go ahead and speak, and I just spoke up. I was the first one to talk. And you know, I was in the Sigma Chi house, in the fraternity house, and we had dug up the cement and put a beach volleyball court. And I had a foosball table that had my name tag on it because I won it in a raffle, like $500. I said, get a foosball table. And they put a plaque on there. And then I was playing ping pong and I was, you know, doing everything for the, you know, all these little sports. And I just talked about that stuff. And I was hanging out at the beach and I had my water safety instructor. And apparently, you know, he liked that, especially when I brought up foosball. I said, I'm very good at foosball. And he goes, he was like, just popped out of his seat almost. He goes, I love that game. You know, and I was like, I felt like I was going to get hired on the spot from that spot. And I basically did when he brought me in a room later.
I don't think I ever met a French person in 10 years at Club Med that liked foosball. Okay. You found the only one, I think. Okay.
I don't know, big soccer players over there, so you know.
Yeah, soccer. Yeah, hey, even ping pong, but foosball. Come on, man. How long after this interview did they tell you or call you? So, you know what, Peter, you're going to St. Lucia. Was it weeks, months?
That was wild because I came back saying I got hired, and it took like maybe like 9 or 10 months or 11 months before I got assigned to Village. And I kept sending like postcards. I was like sending like these little comedy like letters into the corporate, the gals in HR. Because I got hired for land sports, and you know, there's only one or two land sports contracts per Village. And then I didn't even realize that. So I'm like waiting all this time. I was still working for the LA Unified School District. I wasn't in school, living in a fraternity house. And then they called me one day and said, we don't have a land sports contract for you, but we have a mini club, but you got to leave tomorrow. And that was the principal of the elementary school I was working at, the playground supervisor, came out to the playground and said, Peter, you know, they club med's on the phone. They called my school, which was super funny. And then he was one of my references, the principal of the elementary school, super nice guy. You know, he knew my plan. I moved everything out of the fraternity house, moved to Northridge, to Newport Beach, all my stuff, and got on a plane the next day and just showed up in St. Lucia and was picked up and driving on the wrong side of the road.
And about what month did you arrive in St. Lucia, 91?
I arrived actually right on my sister's birthday, October 19th, 1991.
Okay. All right. So you're about to spend, I guess, your first Christmas and New Year's away from your family. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, my family lived in Newport Beach. It was like an hour and 20 minutes from or more from Northridge. So I was living in the fraternity house up there in the valley. But okay. Yeah, my first, I wouldn't go visit them until those holiday times. You're right.
And any kind of culture shock or Club Med culture shock when you arrived? Do you remember arriving that first day or first week?
Yeah, I actually remember those guys picking me up in the van and just driving me from the airport, St. Lucia, to Viewfort, to the Village. I remember, I met Metty and Gino, and I think Fabrice was the entertainer, super funny French guy. He was a great singer, too. I sing Elton John songs and even Cassie Lavoie, you know, like Patrick Bruel, I think it is, you know. But I remember those guys all in white, just... You know, I was like, oh, man, I was so happy. Like, I had left the valley and, you know, I just finally got there. I felt like, oh, I arrived. I mean, I was just so happy to, like, finally get a Village. And I was ready to be out of the valley because I wasn't in school for a while. I was working just for, you know, 4 hours a day. But, like, I was ready for that next chapter in my life.
Yeah. So your chief of Village was Mehdi Sarour and your chief of sports was Gino Andretta, correct?
Gino Andretta, yeah. And my chief of mini club that hadn't arrived yet was Philippe Fournier, who became a chief of Village later on.
Okay, that's right. So quite the talent, because that photo you posted of St. Lucia, the beer drinking, you have Lulu, who was chief of boutique. You have Ryan Leach, who I guess was land sports. And then, you know, you had, and then Gino on the mic. So now you're telling me Philippe Fournier was there as well?
And so was Sophia, and Sophia? So was Leo.
So Sophia too? What was she doing there? Do you remember?
Sophia was, I thought I met her in St. Lucia. Yeah, she was in St. Lucia. She was in St. Lucia. She was either the front desk or the helping the boutique as well. One of the two.
Sophia. Which
I think she was, So I think boutique. She used to help dress me for the fashion shows.
Lucky. Okay.
Yeah, right. I know.
Oh boy. And, yeah. So what I mean, come on, how often does this happen? Like, I didn't know that St. Lucia 91 had all these future chief of villages there. That's pretty, I mean, you were first season, so you probably only realize after the fact, like, wow, look at all this talent, right?
It was crazy how much talent came out of there. You know, like I can maybe 7 or 8 of them became the chief of village with Ryan, and I think Leo became chief of village too, potentially. Was he, you know, Leo, Montreal?
No, I'm just wondering if you recall his last name. So maybe I might have.
Oh, he also worked in the restaurant. I got to think of his last name. The name popped in my mind.
You also had a minor celebrity on the scuba team. Wasn't Cowboy there with you?
Cowboy was. He was amazing. And the maintenance team and those guys, like, you know, we used to play a lot of backgammon and, you know, just have a good time over there in the GO headquarters. It was over by the golf course on the other side there. So it was just a really cool vibe just between like 5 and 7 at night before, you know, or sometime in between 4 and 7 in there, just to hang out before you really went in there with it. There was always that time to bond with the GOs at that village because it was separate from the guests a little bit for just a small amount of time.
Yeah, I made the minor celebrity joke, but Cowboy would find that funny. Okay, he's gonna laugh now when he hears that. Okay.
I can picture his face and his smile, man. You know, and that I was trying to think of the chief of scuba. Dano, the blonde ponytail, and his girlfriend Shannon from Canada. Yeah, he was a great guy too, man. That whole scuba team was a lot of fun. And I can remember because I was, when I moved to snorkeling, I was like on my own team. I, you know, became chief of snorkeling. I don't think I had anybody reporting to me at the end there what I was. I was just me, you know. But I can remember Gino. I can just remember Gino talking to all the scuba team and just giving us a little speech was pretty funny.
You did about 10 months in this village. And like I said, you had like, you went from mini kids club, land sports, snorkeling. So they kind of moved you around a lot, huh?
Yeah, I even worked on the windsurf beach. Like I have a windsurf picture there on Facebook, but that was just 2 or 3 weeks or a month or something. I worked on the windsurf beach. There were some really good windsurfers there and that wind was beautiful. I mean, just always blew perfectly. So I learned, I wasn't a really good windsurfer, but I could teach beginner lessons and just move sails and stuff around.
Yeah.
So that I was everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That was an advanced spot for, I remember taking the shuttle bus to that beach quite a few times. The wind was always kicking and it was mainly for advanced, but if you're a beginner and learning there, then you can learn anywhere.
Exactly. I was trying to remember the Brazilian chief of windsurfing. He was almost like, he was like a pro. He was so amazing to watch him. Yeah. But
What else do you remember from your first season there? Do you learn anything from any sewer at all? Like I know as chief of village, he's one of these tough but fair guys, right?
Medi Soro was really a mentor to me because I really didn't understand what a real work ethic was, you know, and you got an Algerian chief of village that just like when he says jump, you say how high, and you just totally respected him because he worked as hard as any GO out there, maybe harder. He was always out there. He even had to get, I think, cataract surgery because he didn't want guys wearing sunglasses all the time, even himself, so he could look the guests in the eye, you know? But Medi and I really, you know what, I engaged Medi because I think at the time he was training for the New York City Marathon and I was a runner. So I used to run around the island with him a few times. And then we bonded in that way without even talking, just running together. I really respected him. Just, I think that's why I believe a lot of the people that became chief of village is because of Medi, because they can just kind of mirror, if they mirrored anything about Medi, now that I've been in business too in my life, you know, Medi's a guy that can really bring people up if you do well with him. Otherwise, you're going to go home.
Yeah. And I'll say that I'd say you two click because does he ask you to go to Huatulco with him after St. Lucia, or that's just how it turned out?
He did. He asked me to go to, I did two seasons with him. He asked in St. Lucia, and then he asked me to come to Huatulco. So I had a couple of weeks off and I went home with my Barbies and a few bucks in my pocket, you know, ended up in Huatulco, and then I got there before him. So there was another chief just for a few weeks, but yeah, he asked me. So I really kind of, a few of his tribe came with him out there. So Medi was really kind of, you know, really kind of building that up. Gino too.
So you said you came home with money. So unlike most first seasons, like me, usually didn't come home with money. So you sound like you did pretty well there. You saved some money, right?
Yeah, I did. I had an American contract. I think it was $400 and something, $440 a month. And then it went to and then I got promoted and a chief of snorkeling. It was six something. And then I went to $720, I think was the highest I had per month. $720 bucks back then per month.
Wow.
So I saved like $4,200 when I left St. Lucia.
That's pretty good.
I spent it all on on CDs and like a boombox and like fun clothes. I was a beach volleyball player and I was doing like for sports night. I like bought Scott Akintubby, famous beach volleyball player. I had his like board shorts and volleyball shorts. I just bought fun stuff because I knew I was only going to be home for a few weeks. So I just spent most of it and brought it back to Club Med with me, all my fun stuff in a trunk from Kmart, one of those big blue like treasure trunks.
Okay. Tell me, Peter, I know you're a scuba diver too, and you told me you didn't give me all the details, but apparently your roommate Elgor saved your life during scuba. Is this right?
Yeah, Elgor, you know, he was a great guy. I wasn't really, I was a lot of snorkeling. I even did some spear fishing here, but I only got Club Med certified for scuba diving. And my first dive ever, I did with Elgor, my roommate, and I felt comfortable with him. And then, you know, I went down about 60 feet with him And then I realized that I didn't have any oxygen in my tank at all. Like I couldn't take anything out of there. And I just gave him that little, like, move my hand over my throat. And I looked at him, and he looked at my tank. He saw it was completely empty, you know? So, you know, and then I just had, he gave me his other ventilator, you know? So that was that story. But it was for a little bit there, I was like, oh geez, you know, I can't breathe. You know, but he wasn't too far away from me. So I never felt like super panicked or anything, but I knew that I wasn't getting oxygen, and he was super cool that he was near me.
All right. Can we just get back to the mini club, kids club? Do you, I guess you didn't spend that much time in each spot, but do you have any stories about life as a GO in the mini club in St. Lucia 91?
Yeah. You know, what was interesting about the mini club? I do remember, like, yeah, with the mini club, I brought from Northridge. They used to say like C5, and meaning like Cal State Northridge, and then the guys would say, you know. So I would say kids club, and I'd have all the kids would scream back, you know, to me, like, you know, we're the best. So we'd go around all around St. Lucia, all around that village. And I would say kids club, and they'd say, you know, and we'd even do that in the restaurant, and the kids had a lot of fun with that. And I remember being on the soccer field. The maintenance guy, I remember taking all the kids out there and playing lots of different games out there. Oh, and then there was the Archie comic books. The Archie comic books,
yes,
were,
yes,
they came out there, the writers, right, of that. And they, yes, came to my mini club, and then they wrote a actual comic book based off of Club Med. And they were using, I was the example they were using to write that comic book. And I had that comic book at one point. You could probably find that edition about Club Med.
Yeah, yeah, we had Anthony Salerno came on. He was in charge of that promotion. He worked at the advertising in the New York office. So he we have a photo of it. So it's cover, the cover of Archie is like the circus, because everyone goes to try the circus. So yeah, he talked at length about that issue. So I'll send you his interview later. It's pretty interesting. Shout out, Anthony.
Shout out. Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, that's it. A lot of other story I tell you about St. Lucia was that I did used to play a lot of volleyball there because I was so into it. I brought that back from Northridge with me. And I used to play with Pascal. Pascal was like from Montreal, and he was a pro golfer and like a A-level volleyball player. And we played the guests, sometimes just the two of us against like five guests, you know? And so we beat the guests one day. Right by the pool there in St. Lucia. And all those guests just like picked me up from my hands and my feet and dragged me to the pool. And there were so many guests watching that it was almost like a wedge to the pool. And right when I got to the edge of the pool, like some of the GOs pushed the guys that had me into the pool, but nobody could see what happened. And I came out of that thing unscathed, but I didn't do anything. My GO brothers just pushed these big muscular guests from New York into the pool. And I just came back to the volleyball court with my arms in the air, and everybody went crazy because they thought like I kind of manhandled all these guys, which I really didn't do anything, but it was funny.
Wait, you used to play beach volleyball by the pool?
No, I played a lot of beach volleyball in Northridge, but when I was at Club Med, there was a volleyball court on the cement that was like 25 feet from the pool.
Yeah, that's
right. Right there. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about. So we used to play a lot against the guests or against each other at lunchtime. So I just kept that going, but we played on cement. You did the best you could. That's what they had in St. Lucia.
So you go home with money. You're going to go to Mexico. Had you been to Mexico before you went to Huatulco?
I've been to Mazatlan fishing. I've been to Mazatlan a few times catching marlin and Dorado and things like this, but I never been there like for work at the time. So that was just where I was assigned, Huatulco.
How's the visibility for snorkeling there?
It wasn't like St. Lucia, but it was still good. I remember seeing even, you know, sea snakes and just a lot of cool fish. But it wasn't like, it wasn't St. Lucia or Turks and Caicos type of snorkeling, but it was still good. I love the snorkeling shack, you know, and the visibility right there was really good. And I guess sometimes would even feed the fish right outside of my little shack there.
It's a much bigger village, Huatulco, right, than St. Lucia?
Huatulco is on a big old hillside. I got in pretty good shape. You had to walk like, you know, they had Corridos, those cars, but we'd walk up those stairs like a few times a day. And at nighttime too, after rehearsal or after the disco, or after the show or whatever, you would constantly going up a mountain, you know, so you just moving around, you got really in good shape there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And taking luggage to the guest room is a workout in itself, right?
Oh yeah, loaded carries all day long over there, you know. And then you turn, that's kind of funny. You talk about luggage, you'd be in the lobby at, you know, and the New York shuttle would come in, and we'd be like asleep in the lobby, and then somebody would flip that switch, and all the Club Med music would pop on, and we'd all just jump up and start clapping. It was like we were programmed, you know, smiling and clapping the minute that music turned on. So that was good times.
Well, what can you tell me about your season in Huatulco? You spent like 6 months there?
Yeah, I did a full 6 months there, and then yeah, I had a really I that was a great season. You know, I really got honed in on the party picnics there. I was passed down from the last picnic guy, like how the party picnic works, and then I really took that. I already done picnics, I had done some picnics in St. Lucia, but never the party picnic. So that's when all the games and the routine and the making the drinks the night before, all of those types of things. That to have a really successful party picnic was like a formula. And that was a great time doing those. And just that village itself was a lot of fun. You know, I already was pretty established being the chief of snorkeling then, and then working with a lot of those same key team players. And it was just like a well-oiled machine. You know, again, Mehdi was really kind of bringing us all up. If you worked his way and you had that philosophy, you would only do well in Club Med.
Was 92, was Huatulco a family village?
Huatulco was a mixture. It was St. Lucia was more of the family village. Huatulco was starting to get closer to a singles village.
Okay, got it. Now, other than the did they stick you in shows, Peter? Because I remember that I remember like in Columbus you did a lot of shows. So did you like to dance? Did you like to do the shows?
I was in a lot of shows. I wasn't a really good dancer, and I remember the choreographers, the gals that were like French choreographers, were really patient with me. Sometimes we would have to go over these things many, many times. But I was in a lot of shows. I was the improvised shows I was best at, whether that was me just like lip syncing Metallica or Nirvana and Green Day. I did all of those things quite often. And sometimes lit up the stage. Just was we had fun. Just pretend the bouncers and just the guests would go nuts. And the music of that time, if you remember, I had all the good music of that time. If you think like when Nirvana albums were first coming out, and Smells
Yeah,
Like Teen Spirit, you know, it was amazing.
I think everyone remembers where they were when they first heard that song, right? Like I can remember to this day where I was. So do you remember where you were when you heard that? Smells Like Teen Spirit?
Smelled Like Teen Spirit. I was
Yeah.
in Newport Beach. I even brought cassettes from K Rock, KROQ, with me to like to St. Lucia. But like
Okay.
I was somewhere in Newport, but I brought the CD unwrapped to St. Lucia with me. I brought a few CDs, but that was one that really I used a lot in the shows, and I lip synced that a few times to just like, and my hair got super long and blonde at the time. And so I was wearing Kurt Cobain type of outfit on stage, you know, a striped
Okay.
kind of hang ten shirt and just rocking the place.
Yeah, no, that's to me, that's when it all changed. When that song came out, and I remember I was in a club and I'm going, what the heck? It was just like the needle scratch. And then that song came on. I'm like, what? This is like August 91 we're talking about. So I'm like, wow, okay, this is different now. But yeah, what a song.
Exactly. And then October 91, I'm lip syncing that thing to, you know, the hundreds of guests in Club
Nice.
Med. So I felt like Kurt Cobain, you know, it felt pretty good. You know, I've had those show experiences. I even played like on a wooden guitar, Bohemian Rhapsody. And the guests afterwards thinking I'm a professional guitar player, and there was wood with no strings.
Imagine what you do with the real thing, right? Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, so that's like that's show business right there. That's just kind of fun times. But yeah, I did a lot of fashion shows, and I always had fun with those things. I even when I before I left Waltuk after before I left Waltuk, I went into Oaxaca, well, and I did some modeling out there just because I did the fashion show type of stuff. I got paid to do that out there.
Now, was it towards the end of your season, Huatulco? Do you start like mulling over, like going back to school, finishing the degree? Like, how does that happen?
Well, I always knew I wanted to finish. My older sister was already a lawyer. You know, my parents were psychologists. So it was kind of an expectation growing up in Newport Beach. So I just kind of felt like I had to finish. Like, I didn't feel like an adult until I finished, even though I wasn't ready to finish until I went back. So that was always in the plans. And then I went from University of Arizona to Cal State Northridge when I went to Club Med. And I went back to Chapman University, where my mother has her master's in psychology. So I was able to transfer 87 units to Chapman and then graduated by 95 before I went back to Club Med to reward myself.
And if were you ever, because it's weird, because a lot of people go to school first and Club Med. So you went to Club Med, you had a great time. Does it ever happen where you're sitting in class, maybe the subject matter wasn't interesting and you start daydreaming, thinking about Club Med? Did that happen at all?
It was a pretty big shock. Yeah. Just coming from, like, you know, from Waltuco, but, well, I didn't go home right away. See, I went to Europe for a few months. But when I came back from Europe after traveling like 10 countries on a Euro pass, I had to go back to reality. And then getting back into the classroom, I was worried about that. And it wasn't easy to transition. And I just somehow I was able to focus and, you know, get a degree in psychology. So, but yeah, that was... It's just living a whole different lifestyle, going from a beach to a classroom in Orange.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you gave yourself a great graduation gift, right? Because, boom, you tell Club Med you're available. They send you to one of the greatest resorts ever, Turks and Caicos, 95. Not too shabby, huh?
Yeah. I was really pleased that I always was on good standing in Club Med, still to this day. So, like, they literally... Great, because they knew I knew the picnic so well, they sent me to Turks pretty quickly, you know, which was fantastic. And there's another CD moment you just reminded me of. I brought Pennywise. I was playing Pennywise in my room, you know.
Kind of, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. When I met some of the other GOs and guests, I had Pennywise just blasting in my room on my little boombox. So that was ended up in Turks and Caicos. And I was just so happy again to, like, God, it was hard to come back to reality when I finally stopped Club Med. It took me quite a transition, but that was amazing to get back there. And then I met some of my heroes there at Turks and Caicos. We had beach volleyball week. I got to play with Bill Bouillon, who used to play with Brian Lewis, who went to my high school. That was a pro in the AVP. So I got to play some volleyball with some of these pros, and that was awesome. And the picnics at Turks and Caicos were a lot of fun too. And we had, you know, so that was... That was a good time, you know. It was really a good time in my life, you know. It feels like it was only 2.5 years in Club Med altogether, 5 seasons, a little less, because one season was only 4 months in St. Lucia. But it was you feel like you live a lot of lives in a short amount of time.
I believe Hendel was there as land sports, right? Hendel from Montreal, Hendel Duplessis.
Hendel was there in land sports. Yeah, big smile, you know, really competitive. We used to have a lot of fun playing sports against each other. He's competitive at everything, even bocce ball, Hendel.
That's right. Yeah. Only guy to make bocce ball competitive.
Okay. You know, but I liked his spirit. He was, I always thought he was cool guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know how many people you must have worked with that became future chief of villages. It's pretty staggering, right? Like, I think a 6 already that I'm counting. Okay.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Like, if you know, I bet we could track a lot that I worked with that became that, you know, and just fortunate not only to work with Medi, but other great, you know, chiefs too. I keep slipping my mind. Somebody will know this, but my chief at Turks and Caicos from Mauritius Islands, he was such a great guy. Craig was the chief of sports, but I really loved that chief of village. He always, he was married. I remember he was married. He had his wife with him. But yeah, anyways, I'll have to think about that. I had a good season there.
How long did you spend at Turks?
I spent a full season. I think it was like 6 months and 20 days or 6 months or something like that before I went to Columbus, before I was sent to Columbus.
Well, you do a little Cancun vacation, right, after Turks?
Yeah, I did a little Cancun. Yeah, it was a beach volleyball week. So there were some guys there that did that. Yeah, it was somewhere in between there for like a week of that. I did that. And I was once in Paradise Island too for a layover, just for a day. But the vacation was in Cancun, which was awesome week, just playing volleyball and just having a good time and seeing some old friends.
Layover was in Paradise undoubtedly because you're en route to Columbus, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, or on the way back, you know, there was, it was, I had to stop over there for a night, but yeah, a couple times I went through there, but once inside the village, once I think to drop off money, and once on the just the way back, they had to hold me over there for a night. It was just one night.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that story in a bit. But yeah, this is where we crossed paths in the 96. So I'm doing land sports. You're at snorkeling. We have Patrizia Moretti as our chief of village, and Terry Bush, as you like to call him, Bush. That's all I remember you calling him that a lot.
yeah, Terry. He's an awesome guy. He worked for Nike before. He's a real athletic guy. You know?
Another guy came at chief of village. Okay, there's number seven, I think. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he deserved it. Terry deserved it. What a great guy.
What a beautiful village, right? I mean, you're talking some good geo rooms. You know, you come from Turks and then you go to Columbus, you feel like you're at the Ritz-Carlton, right?
Oh, yeah. Columbus had all the different color rooms and stuff like that. It was just a lot. Yeah, it was a beautiful village.
For geos, like the geo rooms were probably the best you've ever had, right? I mean, I know they're the best I've had. I mean, you have your own separate thing. Sure, you share the shower, but there's a TV in the room. There's a phone. You're like, what's going on here? Is this an apartment?
Yeah. I actually had a roommate, I think a windsurfer.
Okay.
From France, like the chief of windsurfing. We had a TV. You're right. We had a TV up high, right in the room, like a hospital TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Super cool. Yeah. That was.
And did you like when you were bumping Pennywise in your room, your roommate? Or
I'd bump in Pennywise in Turks and Caicos. I think you're going to Columbus now. You know.
Okay.
You would bump in some different music at that point.
You got to class it up now, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you remember about Columbus? I mean, I know you don't remember me too well, but that's okay, man. For some reason, you stuck out with me, and I remember a conversation we had backstage. I don't know why, but I just I always thought you were hilarious, man. And you know, but
well, thank you.
What do you recall about Columbus? Did you like your time there?
Yeah, you know, Columbus was just a beautiful island. I love the boat, Pedro, the boat captain.
Yes.
He's an amazing dude. I work really closely with him. Yeah, there was another boat captain from France. He had the long blonde ponytail. He was in like Cosmopolitan magazine. They did a photo shoot with some models with him.
Yeah, that's the thing I noticed about Columbus. There was always like that winter, there were a lot of, and actually every winter, I spent 2.5 years there altogether, but yeah, they would always send a lot of models and you know, photographers because they liked the light, they said, because I asked them once, why do you keep coming here? Not that I'm complaining, but you know, why do you keep coming here?
they liked the light and it was for sure. You know what I remember about Columbus was there was also like a bar on the other side of the runway of the airplane, and we used to go there at night.
Well, the Writing Rock had a reggae night on Wednesday nights. The Writing Rock, the only other place you could stay, and that was right past the runway, you're right, and past the one stop sign on the island, right, because the planes were coming in off the sea and the stop sign was for people on the road to let the plane go by. Classic.
That's right. And there was no planes that came in at night. So you go over there. And I remember, like, I'm sure it's built up a lot more over the years. But yeah, then it was so barren. And it was so, like, you could see all the stars at night. And there was even a game in that bar. You know that one? It's like you try to swing that ring onto the hook.
Yes. Yes.
I love that game. You know? I was like, that's all my bar games that I really enjoy playing. So that was a good time. And just the whole village. I liked, you know, I think Patricia was a fantastic chief. I enjoyed her. I respected her and I liked working for her. And me I too. Felt like, again, like I was home again in that village. Like the hardest village was working my first season for Medi to learn the Club Med system. But because I learned it from him, everything else was very, to me, pretty simple.
On your snorkeling?
As far as... Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. On your snorkeling trips, did you ever come across hammerheads? Like I know the divers did, but when you were snorkeling, did you ever see any?
You know what? There were some really, no, I didn't. I saw some big barracuda that used to swim near us. And then one lady said she saw some shark, but I never saw it.
Okay.
But there was some pretty big barracuda that were like intimidatingly big at times.
Yeah.
Out there.
They're a scary fish. They just look scary, right? I mean, they, yeah. and they're quick too. So I know a lot of people get bit inadvertently because they're wearing silver jewelry and the sun hits the jewelry and the barracuda thinks it's a fish. But yeah, they're just really intimidating. And they like to hang under the boat when it's shady, right? So usually when you parked your boat, the barracuda just came and just stayed in the shadows under your boat, right?
Yeah, they did. They used to hang out there, and then there would be, and of course there's nurse sharks, but they're just laying on the bottom there, you know. So, and then I saw small leopard sharks I've been, you know, swimming with, but as long as you're not spearfishing or anything, you're pretty okay.
Okay. Now, you mentioned at the beginning of talking about Columbus, about having to make a deposit. Do you mind telling this story? Because it's kind of like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles to me. You know, I mean, because there's no bank on San Salvador, yeah. You used to have to go to Nassau. So if you can just tell me what happened, because this is a pretty funny story.
Yeah, well, Patricia gave me some cash to bring over there. My parents had visited me, so they were in Nassau. So I got to go. I took the money and I got to go visit my parents when they were staying in Nassau. So I took a plane over. And then what I did was I gave the money deposit, but I missed my flight back to Columbus. And again, you can't fly in at nighttime. So that I was like freaking out, because I'm like, oh my God, if I don't get back to Columbus tonight, I'm going to get fired or something. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, I was going to get back to Columbus. That was just my personality. So I went to the airport and I was looking around. I was going onto the tarmac and I was seeing guys that were getting their planes ready. And then I saw this one like family getting into this small, like, packing this small plane. It was a silver plane with red tips. And I talked to the pilot and I said, oh, and I just told my story. And somehow I convinced this guy, a super cool Austrian pilot that was living out there, that was taking tours, guest places, to give me a ride, because he was dropping this family off at Cat Island. And then he said he would drop me off at Columbus. So I got in there with this family. They're super nice. We flew into Cat Island, which looks like an awesome vacation place, by the way. And then we took off from Cat Island, which is not too far from Columbus Isle, and just me and him, and I'm sitting in the cockpit with him. It's just a small, tiny plane, you know. And then he goes, you want to take over the wheel? You want to take over? So I'm flying this thing a little bit, you know. I'm a little bit nervous about flying a plane, you know, because I've never done that. But that was a lot of fun. And then, but we're coming in, and there's nobody at the runway. I mean, the runway's closed, or there's nobody there, air traffic, nobody. And then we're coming in nighttime when the place is closed. And so he lands us there. And then I would give him some money. I had like somebody, I told him. And then I was like, because he was kind of hooking me up, it was probably cost him more just to fly me in. So we land. But the first thing I do is like, I get out of this plane and I run into the village and I go knock on Patricia's door. Like, she has her own little house there, the Chief of Village. And I go running over, bang, bang. And I hear her laughing in there, you know, and she was just like, and she had company over. So she's laughing at me. She goes, Peter, it's okay. Just like, go away, like type of thing, you know? So anyways, it was kind of like just a crazy story. They couldn't believe, like when I showed up that night, it was like sports awards night or something. And Terry, I showed up and they thought I had missed the plane. They knew I missed the plane. I wasn't there, but I showed up at night. So I think I shocked them all that I even like made it back to the village. To make a long story shorter, if I can, or longer, I saw that pilot later on, because I gave like these German guests like his card to excursion. So he flew back into our island, took them out, and I'm taking the snorkeling boat out, which was the beautiful catamarans with those big diesel engines. I was like leaving the dock. And then he's come flying over me with his silver plane with the ring tips, and he's waving them back and forth at the guests, and all the guests are waving to him. And he was just waving to me, because I was able to kind of repay him that way by giving him, you know, some business. That was like 2 months later or something, but it was super cool.
Let me ask, just sorry to interject here, Peter.
Go ahead.
I was an investment banker for 4.5 years. Now, did part of you think that, or if I could play armchair psychiatrist just for a moment, did part of you think that you had to get back because were you worried that? And again, you don't have to tell me how much money that they gave you. Did you think that when you missed the plane, the first thing they were going to think was, oh, Peter just absconded with the money and took off? Were you thinking that at all? Briefly?
Wow. I never had that thought ever. That's the first time I ever even had that.
Oh, really?
That's so interesting.
Okay.
Like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Right? Okay. I got the cash, man.
Okay, so you were just being you were just being Peter, like, I got to get back, because no other geo would have done what you did to get back. They would have been like, oh, okay, I'll go tomorrow, you know, and I'll take my lumps when they come. But okay, so I thought this whole time that you you were thinking that you pulled a DB Cooper or something, and you know,
man, I've gotten into Las Vegas pools, man, just because I wanted to get in. Paris Hilton was there too. When they let me in, nobody else could get in, but I figured out a way to battle through and just be, you know, I'm resourceful like that.
Okay, I'll say. Man, all right. In all your time of all your villages from 91 St. Lucia all the way 96 Columbus Isle, is there anyone that you enjoyed working with?
I look at all those villages, I really liked the entertainers. I always thought they were really funny and actually they're really good singers. Like I remember Julie in St. Lucia and Fabrice. I also remember Jive. Jive was a land sports guy that I worked with in St. Lucia, a good friend of mine. And worked with him at Waltuco. Jive was just awesome.
Jive again, what was his position, Peter?
Richards is a real name, but Jive was land sports.
Okay, land sports. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Batman made a big impression on me, the circus chief.
He taught you how to juggle, no?
He did teach me how to juggle. His bird bit my hand too once, but that was okay.
He had a bird?
Yeah, Batman had a bird in Waltuco.
What? What kind of bird?
Yeah, some type of little parakeet or something like that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have a little tiny scar on my right hand from that years ago. Super funny. But he taught me it. And yeah, like Jerry. Jerry was another circus guy. And again, Cowboy was awesome. All those scuba guys, the maintenance team at St. Lucia, they made me laugh a lot. They were characters, and they were smart in their job and so forth. So, you know, I like Gino, especially Gino. Gino was a lot of fun. My chief of sports at you know, when in his heyday, when especially when he was moving on up to be the chief of village, he just had a lot of energy and, you know, made us laugh a lot. He had a contagious smile. Yeah, you know, I feel it was fond memories. You know, I went from a fraternity house to Club Med, you know, where I had like, you know, 80 or 100 fraternity brothers, to where I had like in St. Lucia my first season, it might have been 140 of us or so in that picture I have of us, all the GOs. Stuart Emery, I like Stuart a lot in food and beverage. And again, like Sophia, yeah, just people that were my friends there. There was some windsurf guys at Waltuco. There was a tall guy, had long blonde hair. He was so funny. He was like kind of like the Spicoli kind of guy. But we'd have so much fun when I get back from the picnics. I get to the bar and, you know, come back to the bar. I felt like a celebrity. All the guests want to buy me drinks after party picnics in Waltuco. And it was just a lot of energy, just a lot of energy and a lot of fun. Good memories.
I sometimes ask this next question, so I'll ask you, do you find that it was any of your seasons magical? Like, if you use that word, like for me, it was my first season. There was just something special. It felt magical. I'm wondering if it was yours with St. Lucia because of all the talent you had there, or maybe you just like them all for different reasons, but is there one that stood out to you?
Yeah, I would have to definitely say my first season. It was two seasons, 6 months and then a break, and then for 2 weeks and then another 4 months, just finally arriving in St. Lucia. And just, you know what I noticed? My skin even like just got like, it wasn't dry at all anymore. It was just like my whole complexion, like I felt like I was like morphing into like a butterfly or something there. I just felt so good in St. Lucia. And it was like, I was listening to Pato Bonton, you know, I was listening to reggae music and meeting the local people. And they were just like, I just really felt at peace. It was just an awesome place for me to actually, you know, like after dropping out of school and waiting months to get in and then arriving in St. Lucia, it was magical. And I knew that I wanted to be there. So I figured out ways to, you know, I learned and I worked hard, and I had just really, I was smart about the way I interacted with guests and not like just with GOs, where I saw other GOs sometimes make that mistake. If any GOs make any mistake, it was that they hung out with each other too much or showed that they had a boyfriend or girlfriend in public, where I was really good at just playing the GO game, man, having, being authentic, having a good time, but also knowing what my job was, making sure the guests were happy.
Yeah. Exactly. And I almost skipped over this question because by law, I have to ask you, when you were snorkeling in Turks, did JoJo ever accompany you on one of your trips? You have a JoJo story?
JoJo the dolphin, yeah, he'd come out there a lot. He used to swim around the anchor line where we anchored. He used to swim around it. And I used to take the guests sometimes close to JoJo, and JoJo would come up to us. Yeah, JoJo would come out there quite often. I think Robin Williams did a documentary on JoJo during that period of time.
Yeah, he did.
You know? Yeah. JoJo was one of those, when I learned about JoJo and that fish, the grouper Frankie and Columbus Isle, really, you know, I was a fisherman growing up. And then once I became a snorkeling instructor and getting close with some of these fish, like they were dogs, you know, I didn't want to kill them anymore or eat them, you know? So it was like, it definitely gave me a different perception of that. I'm not a vegetarian, but that was definitely a different way I looked at fish, because they were smart.
Yeah. Nice. That's a nice story, man. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And tell me, since when you left in 96, I guess you've had time to think about it. Is there certain times a year where you miss something about Clement, or one thing or three things? Do you miss anything?
Yeah, you know, I miss that kind of freedom. I got, you know, I'm a married man with four kids, you know, and a dog, you know, and living in back in my hometown, and life kind of can close up on you a bit like that. I mean, I don't regret the choices I made, and life is good, but there's a freedom to Club Med that I had when you have no responsibilities, in a sense, besides, you know, you do your work and you got your room and your board taken care of and your Barbies or whatever you need. And you just, as long as you work, you're free. You're completely free in your mind. And that was kind of like when I went to travel through Europe. So I miss that freedom at times where I can express myself. You have to almost get yourself into a meditative state to be able to journal or write or do something to kind of get into a state that I was in Club Med all the time, where I was very living in the moment. You know, that's kind of cliche, very, you know, Eckhart Tolle, power of now. But it's like, yeah, I miss that. I definitely miss that type of freedom that Club Med offers one. And it was almost like, you know, I give analogies that I don't know if they're fair to the military, where, you know, it's like you come back and you almost got like culture shock, where you're coming back, but we're not coming back from war here. We're coming back from, like, you know, Club Med. It's a whole nother thing. But to reimmerse yourself back into regular society was not an easy thing for me to do. And I don't think it's easy for a lot of the GOs to do if you've been there for a while.
I couldn't stop saying hi to everyone on the street. And of course, you know, people don't say hi to each other in Montreal. So I don't know if you were saying hi to everyone you met when you left, but it took me a while to stop doing that. Because, you know, you get some.
Yeah,
looks,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's a good point. You know, I got a job at the Meridian Hotel when I got home. It was a French hotel because I'd worked in Club Med and I spoke a few words of French and Spanish. So, you know, I became a bellman in a French hotel here, which was funny because I had a high school reunion later on there, and I was working that night in like a 20s, like, you know, top hat bellman, man. And I was like, oh, Peter, you've come a long way in your life. You know, that was like 10-year reunion. You know, I was working in a hotel because there's high expectations for people coming out of my town in Newport Beach, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Peter, we're coming to the end of our time. Just have one more question for you, if I may. Looking at your village timeline, your career here in Club Med, I think you seem like a guy who doesn't have any regrets. Like, you're glad you did it. You're glad you left Club Med. I went back to school, finished your degree, came back. I don't think you have any regrets about any of that. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I think between like the chiefs of village and my chiefs of service, and even the guests that were super successful that came there, had such an impact on me. Like, I learned from my chiefs of service and village, especially Medi and, you know, guys like Terry. Just a real work ethic that I brought back to me. And I've been a recruiter for 20 years now and been pretty successful at that. And then seeing these guests, there were some newscasters that came there, some celebrities, and just people that were just like, had great jobs that I was like, okay. And I felt like equal to them in my mind. So I was like, I'm going to go back. And it really gave me that push that when I came back to Newport Beach, that I was going to figure out a way to be successful so I could live in my own hometown. And Club Med gave me that. They really did. They really made me feel like, okay, I can do this. I can go back. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but just the same way I got back on that airplane back into Columbus Isle, I was going to be successful in my hometown, you know? So that's was the one of the biggest driving force I had, like, you know, that was the not a chip on the shoulder, or that was just what made me really kind of, when I became a recruiter and I saw that I could be successful in that and make money, I just jumped in there like full bore. And I give that to like starting off with Medi early on, like you didn't work well in that village, then you were going to get fired. But if you work well, you're going to learn how to work in everything in life. And I think the geos can take that away. It's like whatever job you do, you have a choice in those jobs. If you're going to do them at 100%, or just don't do them. You know, it doesn't matter what the job is, because people will be watching you always. And no matter how much, you don't even need to get paid. You just need to show the right people and show yourself what you're capable of.
That's very well said, sir. Very well spoken.
Thank you.
Thank you. But I realize I almost erred. I have another question for you if you have the time.
Yeah, sure.
Because I mentioned in your intro, you were in this little movie called Bachelor Trip, I think was written by an ex-GO, Tony Vitale. And somehow, and you sent me a photo, you were in a photo with Rutger Hauer, who played Roy Batty in the best sci-fi movie of all time, Blade Runner. How did it happen that you were you an extra in this movie?
Yeah, Tony called me. He wasn't actually a GO. He came there to work au pair for a few weeks. And okay. He was also friends with Stuart Emery, who was ended up being like head of beverage, food and beverage there. That was my friend. And Tony called me and said, hey, Peter, you know, because he helped me out on some of my party picnics. So Tony asked me to be in this movie. So I left my job and I was doing really well that year. That was the year 2000. Like I was crushing it. And I told my boss, I'm going to go down to Miami and then take a plane down to Turks and Caicos to be in a movie. And then they gave me like Screen Actors Guild card. They paid me and I was a lead extra. So I was going to choreograph the party picnics there and just be in this movie. And I was supposed to only go there for 2 weeks, but I ended up staying there for a month. And it was like Martin Landau was like part of that movie and like a producer. And then I Robert Wagner, he was acting like he was intoxicated and I was helping him off the boat. Tony gave me one line. I said, are you okay? It was cut from the movie. The one line I had was cut from the movie. I was like, oh, man. But he offered me a line, you know? So, but like, I'm in like a few scenes of, you know, the party picnics. So that was Rutger Hauer. And then Morgan Fairchild, I was like doing the picnic games. Like we passed the snorkel between our legs. And I was just showing her at old school actors like this. And then the day I was leaving, Christopher Walken came in, was walking by me, that he was going to be the next section of that movie. So yeah, it ended up becoming a movie, but I don't think it ever played in the theater. But it was a lot of fun, man. That was weird because it was down the street from the Turks and Caicos Village at the Sandals or whatever that was there, another inclusive. And they built a fake bar for the movie that was a non-working bar. And so I would be in the movie during the daytime. And then when I was off, there was like a casino there. You were just free. So it was just like, oh my God, like I'm playing a GO and the club med that I worked at is down the street, but I'm not a GO. Like I'm an actor playing a GO. So it was like, this was a few years after I left club med. I left club med in 96. This was 2000, but we all got on this charter plane from Miami. We went there, all the actors and the extras. And I was a lead extra, so I guess I got paid a little bit more. They gave me that title. So that was my movie career. Wasn't much, but it was a lot of fun just like hanging out with everybody out there for like a month. And I already made a lot of money that year. Well, for me, I did, coming from Club Med. What's a lot of money when you're making 700 bucks a month, right?
That's right. I'm a millionaire.
Okay. Yeah, you're a millionaire when you could actually get your own apartment or something.
Well,
so, yeah,
I do see you can buy the Bachelor Trip DVD on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now. I think I'm going to lay down some money. I got to see this thing. I mean, we have Christopher Walken. You know, we have Rutger Hauer, Peter Algazi. What's going on here? This is madness. Okay, it's like,
yeah,
I can't believe this thing got made. Okay.
I haven't even seen the whole movie. I think that one scene where we're popping balloons on stage, like the balloon passy thing with that gal from
Christine Lakin, I think, is the actress.
What's her name? She was in Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. You know, okay. the gal that was working in the pet shop. Yeah, okay. You know, when he comes in there. But anyways, I've never seen that movie. So I was like, oh my God, I'm in this movie with this like celebrity. She was just like in a small part in that movie at the time. But yeah, so just a lot of fun, just good memories. I'm looking forward to even more cool memories in my life that kind of match the ones I had at Club Med.
Well, I do. Well, we can end on that note, because I do thank you for sharing those memories with us here today, Peter. That's very, very kind of you. Thank you so much for this.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited that you kind of even approached me about this. You know, it's, I'm 55 years old. It's the time of my life, you know, kind of just makes me remember who I, the lives I've lived from the fraternity days of Sigma Chi to Club Med to, you know, different phases of my life. So I really appreciate you just taking the time and bringing the best out of me. So thank you.
And please say, we'll see you soon in Bachelor Trip 2. Please say this.
Yeah, yeah, you'll see me soon in Bachelor Trip 2. I like that. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Back to
I'm
the
available.
Beach. Okay. All right. You heard that, Tony. He's available. Somebody book him now. Okay. All right. That was the amazing Peter Algazi, everyone. Peter, it's been such a joy talking to you again after all these years, man. So really, I do from the bottom of my heart. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Greg. Pleasure.
And here's a part of the show where we say goodbye to everyone and thank them for listening. I'll have you do that, Peter. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks everybody for just listening to my story here and all of you that, you know, that I worked with and Club Med Geos. Love you guys. Think about that time in my life a lot. And I wish you guys all the best. So Arriba, Abajo, Al Centro, Chupale.
Okay. Thanks for not saying that other one. Okay. I hope so. That was the best part of that. Yeah. Peter Algazi, everyone, we better get off before we cancel ourselves here. Okay. We'll see y'all next week. Another new installment. Bye.